Seven knife and hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and hell is.
Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Keep adding him out, Adam out of the stream. Add yourself back in the stream.
Good job, nigga.
We here, episode 207, 79th and Hollis, man. You guys, Scott and Flows, this will be the last time that neither one of us are out of the game, because we have not been at the game 2 weeks in a row. And I know that is shocking for you guys. But Joe, yes.
I don't know about anybody else, but I enjoy the break.
Yeah, I mean,
I work two jobs. Scott works two jobs. Just cool to not have to work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not so much about, oh, man, I hate what I'm doing. No, I love the Bears, you know. But this is just cool to not have to be so.
Because it's an actual job. It's people, you know, I think some people think we just go to just watch the game. Like, it's way more work than that. But Joe will be at Soldier Field next week for the Dolphins game. And then I will be back with Joe for the rest of the season. And we'll be on the road, too. We'll be going to Atlanta, Georgia. Both of us. I will be in New York City holding it down with my man Pat Vito, and then both of us will be in D-Town for New Year's for the Lions game, which, remember how we said we was going to lose the Lions? No, we're not.
The bad news? There is none.
No,
that's
no,
an inside not. Joke.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody gets that but us. That's a little of the NFL Films DVD jokes.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
But we here, episode 207. You know, to follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at Flows Andolini, at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Follow 79th and Hollis, 79th A&D Hollis. Visit the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. We'll be dropping another episode of Cinema with the Guys this week. Me and Flows be breaking down, talking about a little bit of Star Wars Andor, talk about a little Star Wars Tales of the Jedi, which I thought was fucking amazing. We're gonna recap, you know, She-Hulk, go over some of the Marvel news. A lot has happened since the last time he's been on the show. And if you missed our House of the Dragon recap, all 10 episodes up. Me and Dante break down all 10 episodes of House of the Dragon. You can check that out. So check that out this week. Summer Sessions will be big. For all y'all who hit me up to my man, what's up with the podcast? I'm not allowed a week off. I'm not allowed a week off to not do anything. This week was my 34th birthday, so I told myself after Tuesday, Scott, you're taking the rest of the week off. So everything will be back this week. Summer Sessions will be back. I'm not going to hold you, be back. Everything will be back. But we appreciate each and every last one of y'all. Visit the bcnet.com. Barbershare shop is coming.
Let's just say, like, Scott has to travel back and forth between two cities, cover two different teams, work himself. That's just a lot to do. And he deserves a week off.
Yes.
I have to only cover one team, but I'm a full-time teacher. I still do videos, so I work several jobs, and I have just take time off. That's all.
And I record like 4 podcasts a week, including my own show. So it's a lot, but it was good to just relax and not do shit for a week, just be able to chill for a little bit. But I'm back. I started back today. Just came back from Staples Center. I was really covering like 2 games at one time. Like, I was trying to give y'all some Bears info at the same time. I had my computer up. Like, I started it. By the way, I know the Bears have gotten their food game up, but nigga, the spread this morning for the Clippers. Oh my God. I was like, you know that little meme with the dude with the 2 plates?
Yeah.
That was me this morning. They had cheese eggs, they had sausage and bacon, nigga, waffles, every type of thing you can have in there. If you didn't want that, they had a nacho ball over here. It was just
most of those press rooms, at least from what I've seen from your videos and pictures I've seen other people, it's open. Bears press room is like the room to eat is the size of my room. Like, it's not big. And so you have to file in there, all of you. It's like it's built in an anachronistic way. Like, it feels like it belongs in the 80s.
We have Damien in the chat room. He said that second sentence is beautiful. What second sentence are you talking about? but it's more space. It's more space. Well, so, and the eating, and you know how at the Bears and Bears game, you got to eat actually in the press room. Yeah. There's an actual eating room in Staples Center where you just eat, and they have like a 6 TV setup to watch the games. So I had to stop myself when Eddie Jackson got that pick. I was like, yeah, and the nigga was looking at me. I was like, oh shit, I forgot where I was at. But yeah, man. So you know, Bears got the ass whooped, but I've never felt happier.
There was not a single part of me that was upset. Yeah. You know, when they went down early, I was like, you know, I literally had me and my girlfriend that went out briefly, and I thought, you know, I'm making time for them to see the first quarter. I get it, I'm like, oh, it's 14-0. I'm like, sounds about right. I was like, that's about what I expected. The Cowboys are a well-oiled machine. Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. He has actual NFL level receivers. Yeah. That makes sense for them to beat on a team that clearly is not. But it just got me thinking about Ryan Poe's plan, and I will share that later on in the show. But I'm starting to wonder. It gives me what they call it endorphins. So we will go over what I wonder if this was his plan. If once again, I know a lot of people. I feel like Bears media is divided by criticism or celebration. And I like to think 7 Hallis is, you know,
right in the middle.
And Barbershop Network in general is right in the middle. And we'll be here, we'll be here. It depends on it. So my
Spidey senses are tingling. I will say this as a member of Black media, we need more of us out here. I've been noticing that the last couple of games I've been doing just in general.
Zion looked in shape, by the way, did he?
Bruh, he almost dropped a triple-double. But I was
watching. I did not expect him to get in this great a shape.
I was watching when I was, because he was game time decisions. I was watching his warm-ups. I was like, yeah, this nigga's finna go crazy. I was like, he's finna go crazy. But it's like, you know how somebody like big, he a big dude, but you look in the face, he's still like a kid. Like he still looks like a fucking kid, but he's a big fucking dude. But he dropped like 22, 12, and like 8, and he didn't even play that long. And the Clippers was looking ridiculous. But
Giants.
I would want to come back to reality.
That fraud.
Do we have to give Gino most proof player?
Got to at this point.
Remember we said they tried to write me off, he didn't answer back though.
Man, Gino 212 yards, 104 rating. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Also got a couple rushes in. I've never seen a player take most of their career to become a good quarterback. And I watched him in West Virginia, and I'm like, he's not going to be good because the majority of passes were just bombs. But he's sitting on almost 1,800 yards passing, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Over the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, he's thrown 1 interception. Against 2, 4, 6, 8, 11. So like not 11, but a 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 touchdowns. He's
looking good.
Going crazy. Good.
One thing the Bears
actually 13
fans
touchdowns,
need,
3 interceptions. He's
one thing the Bears fans need today is when the Buffalo Bills put the hand of the Lord Almighty on the Green Bay Packers today, and we gonna have the same fucking record. The Bills are gonna put
the Bills about to.
The blood
about
of Jesus.
To spread it. It's about to be nasty.
And also, the one receiver that the Packers have, Al Lazard, isn't playing today. It's going to be fucking nasty in Buffalo today. But, yeah, man, I was watching the game, and I was just like, I was like, man, I've never been happy at a 20-point blowout. Like, Justin looks
there cool. Was somebody I mentioned who I blocked on my page, not because I don't like the person. I just don't want that type of person in my page.
With that negativity.
It's not even negativity. It's just I'm annoyed. The older I get, the more annoyed I am with people and the more annoyed I am with incompetence. And he said, the Bears, like when you said, oh, man, Bears fans. Most of the Bears fans were like, man, you're right. He put the Bears lost.
We lost by 20.
I'm like, that upsets you? So if you know a team is going to a rebuild year, you see that the offense is scoring 30 points in consecutive games. You see the offense is going in the right direction. You're going as a team that is much better than you. You're upset over the score. That's the most important thing. That doesn't say if you don't want more victories, you don't have to have more victories. That's perfectly fine. But there's also a thing about common sense and perspective and context. And the context of is Justin Fields is playing with Mariano's Groceries as wide receivers. It seems like the only good wide receivers are N'Keal Harry and Darnell Mooney. We know Darnell Mooney is a good number two. We know he's going to be a good number 2.
N'Keal Harry is built like a tight end. Like, he kind of looks like Kyle Pitts.
He's a big dude. Yeah. And he's not a number one. He's not number two. But he'll be a solid three. Not. And if the Bears get a good one, he's a solid three, and I'm fine with that. But outside of that, I mean, come on now. You saw Dante Pettis. You saw Velus Jones. Like, you know there's nothing there. And so for him to play with that and for him to still do good, isn't that what's most important? No turnovers? Not even a fumble?
Nope. Nope.
You know.
We got
there was some issues with the fumble that Demo fumbled that Micah Parsons picked up. Was that
shout out to Dante Pettis for saving Justin Statline at the end with that ball looked like he was going to be ripped out of his hand for a pick. I was like, good shit. shout out to Jaleel and Brandon in our chat room. It said, Justin made progress. That's all that matters. Brandon said, only meathead Bears fans don't understand this is a double win today, 2023, and it's on to the goal. I agree with that. Like, what you got to understand is this, and I said this morning, by the way, all y'all who woke up at 6 a.m. on the West Coast to watch the Broncos and the Jaguars are disgusting human beings. I don't even love football that damn much. But when I was getting ready to go to the Clippers game this morning, I saw the end of it. And I was like, you know what? Where's the open wide receiver cam with Trevor Lawrence? And by the way, I love Trevor Lawrence. Big Trevor Lawrence guy. I have no hate towards Trevor Lawrence or really any of these young quarterbacks. I just want consistency when it comes to it. When Justin misses a guy, they've got like a empty wide receiver cam. Well, you know, he could have did this. Now, I understand the Bears are a way bigger franchise than the Jacksonville Jaguars. I get that. I understand that Trev has the complexion for protection. Yep. I get all of that. But let's just have some equal balances. Justin looks the best out of anybody in this class right now, by far.
My thing is that there was, I don't know who it was, and I won't say what.
He said Justin's game stats would be better if Velveleta Jones ain't dropped that down.
My issue is that I've seen media members, both in Chicago and out, defend other quarterbacks in similar situations with terrible things, but then down on Justin Fields. And all I can think is, because it doesn't have to be that you're just a downright racist. It could just be your unconscious bias coming out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It could just be your unconscious bias coming out and you just don't realize it. But I think someone had tweeted about a Kenny Pickett interception. It's like, oh, man, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? It was okay. I'm glad he was at least trying. I was like, this is a Pittsburgh media who was talking about Justin last year.
The same media who said this is Mitch Trubisky's second shot. Remember that shit?
I thought to myself, that wasn't a good ball from Kenny Pickett. That wasn't even aggressive. It was just stupid. But Justin makes a mistake last year. And I remember that tweet because I saved it as a bookmark. And I don't want to say who, but I was like, that's very interesting. It's interesting. What do we mean by that? So I'm intrigued with the, I don't know what the correct word would be, but the.
Is it Uchi Raleigh or is it one mic?
I can't say it about it.
Is it Uchi Raleigh? Today, the Jets lost the football game because of their quarterback. What have you seen in coverage today? Nothing. And what's even more impressive about what Justin's doing, this is like the fourth game in a row where I was like, okay, he looks good. It started with the Minnesota game where he was robbed of glory. And then he played a pretty good game against the Commanders in the second half.
Yeah.
Robbed of glory twice at the end of that game. Two opportunities to win that game.
He threw two touchdowns.
Right. Last week, he did amazing in a dub they won. And then today, you get three touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? He's looking good. In the last 2 weeks, Dallas and New England against very good defenses. A defense in Dallas that might be the best defense in the league right now, at least in the NFC.
The Bears scored the most points scored on them this year.
And back-to-back games of basically 30 points. When is now, the last for time
other
you've
teams,
seen this with the
30s
Bears?
Is like, oh, that's just 30.
Not
that's
for
huge.
Us. 30 for us is 45.
You know what I'm saying? That's huge, but it's – the Eagles scored 26 when they beat the Cowboys. The Bears scored 29. The most points scored on them this year in one of the best defenses in the league, if not the best.
Yeah.
That can't be over. That can't be underestimated or overstated.
Well,
yes, they lost by 20. The defense stinks.
Yeah.
The defense stinks. Hey, Jackson, I'm so happy, bro. I'm so happy you're back.
Yeah.
And he read it the whole way. I was like, oh, I said, Eddie Jackson really back, man. And he's the anchor on your defense, Trey Roquan.
And that's – I'm going to get to that in the middle. I think when we get to the trade, we'll talk about your plan.
Trade Roquan. I don't know what franchise tag rules there are certain things you can and can't do when you franchise tag him.
You can trade out the franchise tag.
I forgot what the rules are. Because I thought I used to be you couldn't trade franchise tag players. So, Stat Twitter, don't be mad at me. Oh, you can't do that. You should know that. You're media. You should know this.
Yeah, I hate you. You're media.
If I mess up, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, I don't take my free time look and read the NFL rule book.
But if you can't, it's time to trade him. If you're going to get rid of Robert Quinn, which I'm happy for, bro, it's time. It's time to get rid of Roquan.
See, you're doing what we do all the time on the show, and let's bring stuff later in the rundown of now. We'll get to that.
I don't listen to the rundown.
Yeah, I know you don't read the fucking rundown. I know you don't read the fucking rundown. But let's just talk specifically about Justin's game. And I want to talk about Luke Getsy too. What have you seen? Remember when we came here last week, on Tuesday, after they beat the Patriots, we said we're not going to get excited yet because I want to see the same game plan back-to-back weeks. Saw the same game plan. Now, Grant, this is the worst offensive line, not only in the NFL, this is the worst offensive line in Bears history. Like, bruh, the fact that Justin is doing this with nothing.
Jay had a really bad O-line.
Yeah, he got pulverized 72 times. Jay can't move.
It's not that.
No, because Jay can't move like Justin. That's why. True. Justin had Jay's speed, he'd be the same situation.
That's true.
So it's to me, it's just like it's there's no type of like there was multiple times I was watching they snapped the ball and orange uniform was on the floor and I see nothing but Cowboys defenders. I'm just glad this nigga got out of there alive. Like that's the thing that we keep saying, to get out of it alive. But we see the same game plan. And I know some people get mad at Getsy, like, why you keep running? Do you see this offensive line? He's trying to keep his quarterback living. Okay, he threw the ball what 23 times? I can guarantee you it would have been more if there was actual blocking. So what did you see, you know, from these last two games compared to the first how many other games begin the season, that the adjustment that Getsy and Justin have made?
Running. Back-to-back weeks for plus 220 yards rushing. Running. Demo and Khalil Herbert are getting 10-plus carries each. Khalil seems to break off the bigger runs. Demo seems to get those tough yards that Khalil can't get. Khalil seems to have a little more promise, a little bit more success on the outside, but he doesn't finish runs, whereas Demo finishes runs. And then Justin comes in. Justin comes in, gets you eight, nine carries a game for explosive yards, you know, and you're starting to implement what the Ravens were doing with Lamar. Except they do it. They're making the mistake of not giving him any receivers and expecting Mark Andrews to be the solution. But and Justin he's a better passer than Lamar Jackson. Like he has a better arm.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Like, of course, stat wise, no, but Justin arm talent, accuracy and strength. It's Justin.
Justin has a great combination of speed for a running quarterback, but he has a great arm. Do you see his passing when he's actually able to sit back, get his feet straight and throw the football? It's beautiful. You saw it on the Komet touchdown. And by the way, I want to say this. Cole Komet hasn't been playing bad.
Not had a bad season at all.
He hasn't been playing bad. Now, granted, this is, you know, the bar is in hell.
I think he's had a solid year, and him and Justin are starting to find each other better. My only issue with him is Justin is like, what's my man's name? Played for the Cowboys for a long time. Even came out of retirement, tried to play again.
Cool. Tight end? Oh, Jason Witten?
Jason Witten. When Jason Witten got the ball, what's happening?
He moving.
No, he's not. When Jason Witten got the ball, that's it.
Oh, you're talking about, oh, yeah, I heard it wrong. Yeah, he ain't grabbed that. There's no yak.
But what you love about Jason Witten is his route running was good.
Yeah, that's what I meant everything. Why he was moving.
His route running was good, and he caught everything. But there are no extra yards. There are none. He may carry a few people, but he's not juking you. He's not running through you. It's just so many times he would catch it and just do this.
Just fall down.
He's just a bulldozer. Cole Komet has the advantage of being more athletic than him times 20. So I still want him to learn to make people miss. Like Travis Kelce ain't going to juke you out your socks, but he learned how to get slippery with his size. And so Cole Komet is just as athletic, and I still want him to learn to use that athleticism to his advantage and slip open. Darnell Mooney remains a good number two. I was surprised Velus took a kickoff today.
I still think they should use Velas more in the offense. The slow time, the small number of times they use Velas in the offense,
he's looked good.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just not on return. Because in return, he...
But at the same time, I'm glad they keep having, because he gotta fight through it. And who else you gonna have out there? I know he was like, put Eddie out there. No, you're not putting one of your best defenders in kickoff. No. I'm not gonna put himself in a line of danger. So I'm gonna put out Tristan Ebner. No, nigga, Vila's gonna have to get his shit together and fucking return those damn kicks. That's what we need to see. And yeah, like I was saying, like, Komet has not been bad. I still want him to be on the expansion team that's gonna be in London in the coming years. But
you think it's gonna be an expansion team in London?
100%. How many London games we had this year? Five. That's true. They got a Germany, and I think Pat McAfee alluded to it on the show a couple weeks ago. Roger Goodell is gonna put together an international division. And honestly, if you see the crowds out there, I was wrong. I didn't think there was a market for it. There's a market for it out there.
You know what they're fans of? Actually, Patriots, the Bears, the Bills, for some odd reason.
Yeah, boy, the Bears is because the 85 team had hella love out in London. They actually went to London the year they won the championship. So there's a lot of Bears fans who still stuck in 85, like a lot of Bears fans here are. But even like one when they were Ted Lasso.
On top of that, it's like when, it's remember football. Say,
with Ted Lasso, when they had the cast out there for the first London game this year, like two of the cast members had a Bears jacket on. So that's just what it is.
My thing is, I think football can become an international sport at the flag level. I don't know about it becoming an international sport at the regular level, like with pads, but at the flag level, it's already happening. And so it's a good time now to expand the whatchamacallit. If there was an international division, that'd be freaking crazy. Imagine there's a Europe league, a Europe division, and the Super Bowl would be in freaking London. Like, that'd be freaking crazy. And I think Roger Bell's Big Raj, it's a lot of Big Raj. He know that dope gonna sell, bro. What did Springer say? He said same product.
Same product. Yeah, same product. He said same. He said she's weak, we're still gonna sell it. I don't know if y'all know.
Shit's weak. We sell double, right?
Yeah, we should. No, yeah, because D'Angelo was like, "Hey, string man, shit's weak. Man, shit's weak all over, man." He said, "We can we sell even more." You know he said, "This thing is forever, D." I don't know if I've watched The Wire so many damn times. I can tell when Idris Elba's voice actually comes out British.
I finished my second watch because on my lunch break at work, I tend to watch whatever I miss.
Your second watch ever?
No, my second watch probably in the last couple years.
I'm about to say, nigga.
I've probably seen the series at least five, six times.
I'm on like watch 14, nigga. Like,
I don't know many series I watch more than three times just because there's a lot to go through. Yeah, I've seen Game of Thrones three times, like all the way through. But my biggest hill I'm going to climb is One Piece. That's an anime. There are 1,000 episodes.
And you watched all that shit?
Oh no, I've started. I am only 10 episodes. It's a mountain to climb, but I just want to catch it because everybody calls it the greatest anime ever. So I'm trying to catch up,
but it'll take
me years, literally.
With the offense, I just really love what I've seen. Like, it's like they stick into the design runs. Like for this year, this nigga's gonna have to play like Lamar for this year until he gets an offensive line. He's gonna have to play like Lamar.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats right now, and out of him today, you've got 16 carries for 99 yards for Khalil. Once again, bro, he makes the most of his yards.
Yeah.
Demo 15 for 53, and then Justin 8 for 60, 7.5 yard average, but a 5.6 yard average for the whole team. Bettis Jones had two rushes for 33. You know what I'm saying? I'm really liking the way Khalil and Demo are being used. Now it's okay, we're using them as complementary backs. Khalil is too good to only give him a couple carries a game. You got to give him more. And he finds the hole well. And so I really like how they're doing that. I would have put in Trevor Siemian earlier because I'm like, all right, it's over. Put it back up. Let them get some rest. But you know, man, I don't see how you can be upset at the end result of the game when you know who the team is.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But I can't argue with people who feel that way. You feel that way, you feel that way.
There's some people I get who just don't want to see their team lose, and I can understand that. But you got to keep your eyes on the prize. Like, you knew what time it was coming. You know what it is when you signed up. What did Drake say? You know what it was when you signed up. Like, let's not act. Like, if you really looked at last week's win, I saw somebody who got mad at the Robert Quinn trade and said it's going to take us out of the wild card hunt. Like, nigga, why do you give a shit about Super Wild Card Weekend? I want to be one of the top two niggas that Roger Goodell comes out in April and shakes hands with. That's what I want.
You're the biggest names on your team. I call them stars, but Justin Fields, Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney, Khalil Herbert, Jalen Johnson, Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon. These are dudes in their second and third year.
I was gonna say we want to draft, nigga. That's in Kansas City. No.
I'm still depending on. I know Peyton said he might go, but we'll see.
I mean, if you go, I'll go. But Vegas to Kansas City, nigga. I thought it was gonna be Nashville. I'm like, all right, Nashville, nigga. I'll pull. Yeah, Nashville's nice.
You know, they should take it to Minneapolis, bro. I really love Minneapolis.
I'd rather go to Minneapolis than fucking Kansas City.
No, it's not even that. Minneapolis is a great city. It's just so chill. It's clean. It looks modern. Oh, I love Minneapolis.
You haven't been to Minneapolis. Low key cities though.
It is low key. It's low key.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Mm. Hey. What I do? You know what I did. But I loved it. I love just me and my girl was in there. We had some good pizza, some good food, man. But to Kansas City points, it's not the same. But Kansas City got some good brisket, some barbecue.
Kansas City has great barbecue.
We gonna eat good. That's all I know. So if we go, we can get a hotel for cheaper. We can chill. Ain't really no sights to see.
I'm all in the videos, ass nigga. Even though we didn't do shit, we was in Vegas. Niggas ate and went to the... Niggas was tired. We went to that same taco spot at the Flamingo every goddamn day.
Hey, man. Niggas was regulars.
The Bears Raiders game, my first game not covered for the team last year, when me and Pav had the most mature Vegas trip ever. Like, we had one night. We went to there's a club inside the Mandalay Bay in the Delano. Mm-hmm. We went there, and that wasn't even like a party part. We went up there like James Bond, nigga. We was drinking scotch, nigga, and then we was back in the hotel room by like midnight. So it was like one of them. I was kicking it at the fucking House of Blues, eating pasta and listening to niggas play guitar and shit. But yeah, so it we probably still go there. But my point is, when we get to Kansas City in April next year,
this is Mikey delete his Instagram.
You funny yourself having it on the podcast.
Sorry. I was trying to send him a parlay.
Nigga, tweet him.
Oh. Yeah.
I'll text him. Like, you looking for a parlay. But anyway, like I was saying, when we get to Kansas City at the end of April, I want the Bears to be in the top three people who Roger Goodell is shaking hands with. Fuck Super Wild Card Weekend. Tom Brady gave up his family for Super Wild Card Weekend. You don't want to give up anything for Super Wild Card Weekend, bro. Fuck that. So what, you can go home and lose the same team you just lost to today? I'm good. Think about hands, you know, think about the prize, man. But let's talk about this defense, man, because Roquan Smith, you're under surveillance. You're under surveillance. Now, I don't have the exact stat sheet in front of me. But last time I checked, it was the fourth quarter, and this nigga had two tackles. I want to say this. I love Roquan. I think he's a really good linebacker. I actually think Roquan is a top five linebacker in this league. Having said that, he's not a game-changing linebacker. He's not a linebacker where I shouldn't be wondering where you are on the field. When you watch the 49ers, do you ever question where Fred Warner's at?
Well, Fred's a Mike linebacker. So
I don't give a damn. Both linebackers we have with the Bears, where's Lance Briggs at? I didn't know where's Brian Urlacher. I never had them issues.
Brian Urlacher was a Mike linebacker.
You I know didn't that, have but Lance Briggs wasn't.
I've plenty of times I wonder where Lance Briggs is, but no. The thing is, no. But the thing
was not going to stun on Lambeau Lance.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I don't know if we can say that anymore with our position. Goodness gracious. But this is well. Okay, so if I show you these sheets of paper. Right now, this is
watching the video right now. Yeah.
This is random mail I got from Best Buy, and
you getting the election day mail too,
bro. I'm getting text messages from him. So, like, hey Joe, can we challenge you to vote for JB? So I respond like I'm a random person. Hey guys, what's going on?
Is it governor right now?
First name was Patrick. I was like, can I call you Patty Pat?
What's the election in Chicago right now? It's for governor.
Yeah,
okay, because ours for mayor, they're like, please vote for Karen Butt Bash. Rick Caruso loves niggas and Mexicans. Come vote for him. Like that's just the type of commercials they've been doing. Like, I don't leave me alone, nigga.
Going back to my theory, if I hold up these two things and tell you only look at me, what are you gonna do? You're gonna look at me
again.
If I tell you, do not look at any of these pieces of paper in my hand,
I'm gonna look
only
at
look at me. You're gonna look at the pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
Because you told me don't look at it.
And they stand out more.
So what's the what
so with
you
Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher, you're not going to look at Lance Briggs because Brian Urlacher was there. The only time when Lance Briggs had his chance to shine when Brian Urlacher
had 1 year.
Stunk.
He was older though. Doo-doo. He was older though, man.
But I'm just telling
you. When Lance get drafted, 04?
Something like that.
So you talking about 2013 Lance after Urlacher had already left. He was washed by then.
I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you. Lance had the
outside linebackers used to get the glory because of being, you know, edge rushers at times. You know,
and
rushing quarterback.
This.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he's a racist, I still haven't changed my stance. I feel like Brian Urlacher is better than Ray Lewis. I don't give a damn what y'all say.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You put Ray just had the privilege of playing on better teams.
Yeah.
And he was a better cover. I would defend this to death. So, yes, Lance had the privilege of playing with, in my opinion, the best middle linebacker, Brian Urlacher. But that helps him. But I still didn't feel like there was my – I forget this nigga Rick Roquan is on the field a lot of times. And even when Danny Trevathan was DT, I would forget Roquan was on the field sometime. That's all I'm saying. I don't think he's a game-changing $20 million a year linebacker. That's all I'm saying. I shouldn't have that if you're the as great as you like. People, I sent us this NFL put on the Instagram. Look how many tackles he is. Look at damn how many tackles he got. Where are the eye-popping stats? They were running those. Pollard had a great game. When you're a linebacker, you ain't supposed to lie on shit like that. Where were you? Like, so I need more. Well, actually, I don't need more. I need him to be on another team, but I just need more from Roquan.
I think we're like, go back to like and Ray Lewis. I think him and Ray were probably equally good at getting to the quarterback. I want to say they probably had the same number of QB sacks throughout their career. Interceptions wise,
Urlacher
funny thing is, Ray had like 30, which is very interesting because you wouldn't expect that. And I want to say Urlacher had like 22. A lot of forced fumbles from Ray Lewis. He was a great run stopper, which is why I think his skill shined over Ray Lewis was a great run stopper, which I think shined over Urlacher. Urlacher was a good run stopper. He wasn't a great run stopper.
Yeah, that's true.
Urlacher's best thing Urlacher was coverage. Coverage, he knew how to snuff it out. This is a man who had about 75 pass deflections over his career. He had 20-something interceptions. He was good. Now, Ray Lewis got his share of interceptions. Do not get it confused. You know, so I don't think you can say Ray Lewis is up here and then Urlacher's down here. It's got to be like 1A, 1B. When you take their careers into case. But also, Ray Lewis has played on good teams, very good teams. Very few bad teams in his career where Urlacher played a majority bad teams in his career and got to shine. So that's just my opinion. Now, going back to Roquan, with Roquan as a outside linebacker with no help from your middle linebacker or your other linebacker, you know, you got the Sam and the Will and the Mike. Mike isn't good. Is Roquan, I think Roquan's a Will? Nah, my mind isn't working right now, but as the outside linebacker, he's not getting help. And it's just not game-changer. He's a do-his-job, lunch pail, call it a day, and that's great. But at this point, knowing that so many teams could use a linebacker like him, it's clear you're in a rebuilding mode. You could get some good picks for him. You're not getting a first for him, but you could get yourself a second and a third or a second and a player. You know what I'm saying? I would take that because here is my Ryan Poles point. Ryan Poles said on his press conference, I was all in there. I was sitting next to Herb Howard of the Bigs. I forgot who else I was sitting next to. I sat a little bit in the back. And my boy, Zach Pearson. And I thought to myself, he said he trusted Justin Fields so much. And that it was, he really has faith in Justin Fields to do it. And so I wonder if he realized, I think our quarterback is good enough for us to deal with some crap this year offensively from our skill
players.
So
this is getting to your
but
your
my point. But our defense is, we gutted it. I have to start rebuilding it now. It's going to suck, but I have to start rebuilding it now. We don't have great D linemen or linebackers in this draft, but we have good DBs. So I'm going to get my first picks and get two studs in Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon. We already have Eddie Jackson. We already have Jalen Johnson. We're going to suffer from the linebacker position and from the defensive line position, but we need these things to get done now. Justin could deal with what he has. And if that was his opinion, which I can't say if it was, I get it. I'm not even sure if I'm going to say I'm okay with it because they were very good receivers in this draft.
Yeah.
But I would have not taken Kyler Gordon, maybe got Pickens and kept Brisker. That's my thought. You can address two birds. But if that was his sort of thought process, I understand it. I don't agree, but I understand it.
Yeah, I think he knew how bad it was going to do. Like I said, I don't agree with him not getting any wide receiver. Like you just said, I feel like you still could have got one nigga. Like,
yeah.
And this team, I don't think this team would have been that much greater, like when you're worried about draft positioning. But there has to be a plan. There's no way he came into this job. There's no way he got hired for this job without presenting to George McCaskey and the little team they put together to hire both of them, and you know, Bill Polian and people like that, without a plan. So I know there's a plan. And if you remember, like in his first press conference, you was there, Joe, he said that there's going to be some dark times. You know, there's going to be some lean shit. I think, you know, this idea that, you know, they didn't believe in Justin, I never believed that. Ever. Like, I don't like they didn't draft him. Yeah, they didn't draft them, but they have eyes at the same time. Like, this is not a Mitchell Trubisky thing. This is not the same thing. Like, even last week on Monday Night Football, Joe Buck was like, in kind of an audition for this front office. Like, no, the fuck is not an audition, Mr. Buck. It's not an audition. Like, this is something where I feel like he said, well, maybe he was thinking, and we could be wrong, but I'm going to try to give him the benefit of the doubt here. Maybe he looked at, like, this kid is good enough to take some lumps this year. Now, maybe I believe he's giving them way too many unnecessary lumps, but maybe he's like, I believe that he's good enough to go through this little growing pains and things of that nature, and then we can come together and put this together. Now, you have $100 million, $120 million now. You're going to have a couple draft picks. You just got a fourth rounder in this Robert Quinn deal. Now, you're going to need a lot more because this defense is just as bad as – I mean, it's not just bad as always, but defense is bad. Defense is bad, and you're going to have to – even though we keep saying, you know, build the offense, you still need a defense to win a championship.
Like, the offense has about four bright spots on it.
Yeah.
The bright spots on the Bears' offense is the defensive backs. The Bears' defense is defensive backs. The bright spots on the Bears' offense is Justin Fields, Khalil Herbert, Demo, Darnell Montgomery. Yeah. I mean, Darnell Mooney. That's it. So about four and four on each. So they're in the same boat, really.
Yeah, but you also got to include the offensive line, which makes the offense way worse.
Line is trash.
Yeah, but what do you think? D-line, I don't think D-line is as bad as offensive line. It's bad.
They're equally terrible.
It's bad.
There's no pressure from any. And on top of that, they're not disciplined. They do not know how to read out when a player is going to a certain side. They get fooled out easily. They allow three straight inside zones followed by simple read options from the Giants. When that happened against the Giants, I said, this isn't a good defense. This is the worst. True. This is one of the worst. I'm like, there's no way a good defense. There's no way any Lovey defense would allow that. You think Urlacher is going to let Daniel Jones do that more than once?
Absolutely fuck not.
That would happen one time. Urlacher would have been shut down after that. Lance Briggs would have snuffed that out. So no, that's why I'm like, this isn't a good team. This isn't that's a good true. Defense.
And it's like, and these are two questions we got in the chat from Billy, and this actually kind of goes to my next point. He said, do y'all think Roquan Ness is a one, or you think it's more of a second or third rounder? Seeing how bad the D-line is, if we get a top two pick, would y'all get old boy from Bama who projected the top pick, or the straight wide receiver offensive line? Now, there's two things with that before we get to that. One, yes, Roquan should get you a fucking first rounder, bro. You should get a first
probably
rounder.
Probably a low first rounder.
Yeah, low. You should be able to get a first rounder.
You probably get a – you. I mean –
the fucking fucking Panthers got a second round for fucking Christian McCaffrey. And he's not healthy. He's never fucking healthy.
I wouldn't be shocked if you got a second and a third. If you got
you
a gotta
first, get a first. My opinion, you gotta get a first. I don't care if it's
I think
late
it's
round,
good
you
value
get
to get a second and a third.
It's good value, but you gotta give me a couple seconds. If you like,
I would take for Roquan, if the team has it, a good player on offense if you're going to give it. If you're not gonna give that, I would take a second and two thirds. I think a second and two thirds, because first through third is your money maker for the NFL. And if I'm coming out of there with immediately having an additional, because I already got 1, 2, 3 picks, and I'm getting another second, and I'm getting another third, that's 6 picks immediately. Did I do that math right? I have one in each round already. I get an additional second, and I get two thirds. You're getting 6 picks in 3 rounds. That's not something that you should scoff at. That's a good deal. I would take that immediately. or you get some good talent on offense, and maybe you get a second, or maybe you get two thirds with it. But I think Roquan has shown enough to net the second, or maybe a mid to low first.
I think you gotta get a first. Roquan is.
I don't think it's as important to get a first. But my thing is, if you do get a first, then those first picks need to be offense, defense, whichever way you have it. I want someone on the defensive line, preferably an interior guy. I want somebody, if I have to look at my draft, my mock draft, but preferably an interior lineman. And then I don't think I would probably go offensive lineman because I think the wide receivers will start falling in the second, really the really talented ones. I'm not sold on Buddy from Tennessee. Everything's wide open. I'm not falling for it. I fall. I fell for Kevin. What's his name? Kevin White. Not falling for it no more.
What do you think about Buddy from Alabama that he asked about?
Who from Alabama?
What was the question, right? He said, see how bad the D-line is. If we get a top two, would you get old boy from Bama who projected top pick or a straight wide receiver? Oh, well. Now, I don't know who that guy is, but you watch college football. I don't know who the hell that guy is. So I'm checking. You don't know him either.
No, I have a mock draft on my notes. He's talking about Will Anderson.
What position does he play?
He's outside.
Outside of what?
He's just an edge rusher.
Oh, no, nah, man. I'm not taking no rusher top two, bro.
I don't know about edge rushers.
Man.
I think it's a good enough interior will get the exterior.
And if you look like, and remember, Poe said he's going to build the team through the draft. And also looking at these free agents, wide receiver list, kind of mid.
You got what's his name from, what's the name from USC?
Nelson Aguilar is one of the best wide receivers available next. That's how bad this wide receiver free agency shit is.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I have two people. I got a buddy from USC. I got Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State just because he's going to go in the first round. But outside of that, none of my wire, I don't have any other wide receiver picks besides them. Some people like, what's Buddy's name from whatchamacallit?
We really fucking up the names then.
Yeah, I literally a few of my notes say Buddy from Alabama. So this is not helping anybody.
Said Nathaniel Hackett is senile, so give me Jerry Jeudy and a pick for Roquan.
No.
It's interesting. Nah, you need more.
Jerry Jeudy and two picks. Yeah.
Jair Alexander, I'm gonna need Stephon two Diggs,
picks, but it ain't even crossed 1,000 yet. I'm gonna need two picks.
Yeah, man.
I had three wide receivers on my first round board, and probably outside of folks from USC and Jackson Smith, I do not think any of them really pose it's a necessity that they go in the first round. Quite a few edge rushers, and what we're starting to see is a lot more cornerbacks come off the board. But it's a good year for cornerbacks, I will say. It's a good year for cornerbacks, making me think maybe Poles could have waited on Kyler.
So you think?
But whatever. So I'm not really too worried about if you're gonna get Jerry Jeudy. He's not a bona fide one.
Yeah, and they also said they're not trading him.
I think
they said they're looking for like a ransom.
No.
And it's like
he got 1,800 yards last
year. Right, exactly. Get the fuck out of here.
I think he had like 600 yards. No.
So here's my question. We'll wrap it up on this question. Do you think that he should trade Roquan before Tuesday? And also, would you entertain trading
Jerry Jeudy 400 yards? No. No. That's my answer. What are you saying?
I was saying with the last question, since the trade deadline is coming up on Tuesday, would you trade Roquan midseason? Or would you wait to the end of the year, and would you entertain trading Demo? Because I don't think they're going to re-sign him.
I don't think they are.
Running backs are it's a system now. It's not about the player anymore.
Which is stupid, because I think the NFL are starting to feel the
– too pass happy.
Yeah. Team,
and I think that's why you're seeing a lot of bad football right now.
A lot of bad football because everybody is so focused on passing that they're not setting up smart offensive plays, and defenses are getting better. Cornerbacks are starting to know how to use the rules to their advantage. You saw Buddy name from the Jets. He's outstanding. A cornerback number one, Sauce. And the defensive backs are getting better. Interior linemen are becoming as skilled as outside interior linemen. I mean, outside linemen. So I started to think offense is starting to be screwed because they're not running the ball. And just any running back you stick in there does not work. You have to have good, skilled running backs. And so I do not think they should trade Deebo. Deebo hasn't shown me anything that makes me think they would give him a big contract either. And you see Khalil Herbert, who's doing just fine in limited carries. So, yeah, like,
I get that, but if you're not going to re-sign him, get something for him.
Yeah.
Because he's a free agent this year. So this is really your only chance to trade the nigga.
That's true.
Because it's that's what I would try.
I'm for a wholesale giving up everybody. So don't think that you're gonna have an argument for me.
No, I'm with you. I'm just saying, like, at least Roquan, you could tag him and then, you know, then trade him. You know what I'm saying? With you only got one tag, so you're not gonna tag no fucking David Montgomery. And it's like, I'm just saying, if you have no, now if they still say, okay, Demo's in our plan and we're gonna come up with like a team friendly contract, it's not like Demo's gonna command that much fucking money. Like, no. You know, it's not like he's Jonathan Taylor or some shit like that. But yeah, if they're like, he's still in our plans, we want to give him a team friendly deal to work for both of them, I'm fine with that. Perfectly fine with that. But if you have zero intentions of bringing this dude back, trade him right now to get something for him without just having a talent like that walk out your building with nothing.
I agree.
That's what I'm interested in. Now, he said that, you know, he said, if we don't resign Demo, and I'm hoping I ain't got to see Ebner run like he got WD-40 in his knees. Yeah, man, Tristan Ebner, every time he catches the ball, I'm like, why? Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. What was the purpose of this carry, man? But
he had a really good preseason, so I'm not shocked that he earned a spot.
Preseason. He had a good camp, too. Like, in camp, yeah. This nigga might do something. One thing I learned from my first official camp, this means nothing. No. Isaiah Coulter was looking like wide receiver 88.
You mean, what you call it, Tajay Sharp?
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. Yeah,
and then he got injured, and then that was the last you heard of him.
Yeah, exactly. So that means nothing. Football is a wild sport, man. It just is a fine line between how you look in practice and how you look in game. You ever know about practice play? Oh, he had a great practice this week. You know how they always say that? Like, yeah. Damn, Oliver Cone. We had a great practice this week, and this nigga looks ass.
Yeah.
Sunday, it's a different. When you come ready for Sundays, 84 don't stretch on game day. Like, it's a different thing between the two lines, man. But Ebner, yeah, I can't do it. So they need to figure out what's going on. And I'm sure they got a plan. We just don't know. And Ryan Poles, I think he's done a good job of at least handling the media. Because this nigga was getting killed up until this. I'm talking about massacre. And he just went up there like, fuck y'all. I'm keeping my fucking plan. Like, yeah, nigga, I don't regret shit.
Yeah.
What up?
I mean, because remember, it's the Nagy effect. That first, don't let the first shit just distort your perspective. You need time.
Yeah.
You need time.
Exactly, man. That's all we got for y'all today. This is episode 207 of 79th and House. Like I said, this will be the last week that one of us will not be at the games. Joe will be back this Sunday at Soldier Field, and I will be back the Sunday after for the Lions game, and we'll be riding with y'all for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Post-game videos will be back. We're going to try to get y'all a preview pod this week. Cannot guarantee it because I've got a lot on my plate this week, and I'm trying not to record three times in one day in the morning. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So we're gonna try to get to y'all this week. But
if Scott can't, I'll do one myself. I tell him I'm recording at work. I have an hour to myself.
And you have the time to do that. If you're recording at work, I can join the call if it's early enough, nigga. Like,
true.
We can figure out a day and things like
we'll
that.
We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out this week. Like I said, 79th and Hollis. Summer Sessions be back this week. We'll have a Cinema with the Guys episode this week. We're gonna talk about everything we missed from Marvel to Star Wars. Getting excited for Black Panther, man. Next Wednesday, I will be watching.
Black Adam was a solid film.
It probably was. I'm not watching.
But, it's good action. Yeah. Very good action. Very good CG. It's all I care.
Probably is. I will never know. But
you see it on you'll watch it.
I'm definitely not finna watch Glow Up Rock.
On demand, you'll watch it.
Not watching the on demand.
Scott, you'll watch it.
No, I'm not. I keep telling you, I'm not. If it's not Batman inspired, DC will be getting none of my streams. It's just not gonna happen. I try to give him a chance. I'm like, well, Henry Cavill's come back. I don't give a damn. I don't even like Superman. You can have Leonardo DiCaprio play Superman. I'm not watching that shit.
Be hilarious.
So, but anyway, you know, the follows on Twitter at Barbchair Scott, at Flows and Delini, at 79th and Hallis. If you're watching the video stream, the audio will be up tomorrow, but the video is up now, so you can check it out right now. Yeah, man, we gonna get up out of here, man. 79th and Hallis, we out.
79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trust.